Now, today I've, it's the last day. Thought, let's try and mix it up. See if these guys are listening. So I've got a few little things in here that I'm going to say, and they may be completely absurd. And I need you to pick it up. And if you hear something that's completely absurd, I want you to stand up and say again. Okay? Cool. So, have you seen a sunrise? Don't even think about it. Have you seen a sunrise? I imagine most of you would have. They're pretty awesome things to see. I actually don't think I've been up early enough to see a really cool one though. Apparently, Mount Warning is actually the best place to go to see it. But here's some photos of some sunrises. All I did was type in sunrise in Google, and then it came up with the morning show sunrise and sunrise. Here's some really cool photos. You'd have fun trying to capture that one. But it's really, really cool thing to witness, seeing a source of light enter the sky for the first time in that day. And here's my favorite sunrise. We just watched it. Lord of the Rings 2, the Battle from Helm's Deep. When Gandalf and his army show up and defeat the orcs, they charge downhill into battle, and they use the sunrise to blind the enemy. They cannot see them coming. It's really such an incredible moment that uses the sunrise to show a new day dawning. Not just, it's a day that brings hope to the people of Rohan. So this morning we're gonna see the light for God's people. We're gonna see the light for God's people. We'll be seeing this in Joel's recount of the Israel's locust destruction. But we're also gonna look ahead to the future judgment and the restoration. First, just let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that for what we've heard, that Jesus died on the cross for those who don't deserve it. Father, we pray this morning that our ears can be wide open, our hearts ready to take in the words that you'll be speaking to us. And Father, we pray that we can have a transformed life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've seen a lot of judgment on Israel. They're constantly looking towards other gods and forgetting about the one true God. Yet, like so many times before, God pities them and restores them if they repent. So from Joel 2, 18 to 27, the first bit we read, Joel's describing what a repentant Israel would receive from God. It'd be a new day for Israel. But how could God restore such disobedient people? Why would God restore his sinful creation? Why not wipe it clean and start again? Start a new Adam and Eve. In fact, we could even mix it up a bit. Let's go with Shaquille and Shaniqua, God's new perfect creation. Now you see, verse 13, and we should all know this verse by now. Chapter 2, verse 13. It's our memory verse. And we're going to start from return, and I want you to speak it out loud. And start from return. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from impending calamity. Beautiful. God doesn't want destruction to fall upon his people, destruction that they so very much deserve. He urges them to repent. But is this what happens? Does Israel repent and receive this beautiful reward that God promises? No, they don't. And we see that in a few times where God says, never again will my people be shamed. But see, they were shamed again. They were invaded again. They were punished again. And you can read that through the remaining books of the Old Testament after Joel. They didn't repent. They didn't receive this blessing God promised. There was no new day. A new day that would have brought them new grain, new wine, olive oil. He'd restore their livestock and their land. God promised to replenish everything. But not just to the point from before the locusts came and destroyed their land. He promised to give them complete satisfaction. Where they'd never be invaded, never starve, and they'd never turn their backs on him again. God promised complete satisfaction, and they turned away from it. See, when I was a kid, I really wanted money. I'm not sure why, it just seemed like the thing to have. So I went into my parents' room and snuck a 20 out of my mum's wallet. Now, I know that's not very much, probably doesn't seem like very much, but you know, for an 8-year-old, that's $1 million. I don't think I was very smart back then, and I didn't put it in my pocket. I didn't, you know, put it up my shirt or stuff it down my pants. I just held it in my hands, behind my back, and I crept slowly back to the wall, back to my room. I must have thought I was an invisible ninja or something. I got caught, and they obviously knew I was up to something. And then I probably got the smack or the wooden spoon. And that was it. And my parents weren't constantly punishing me for it. You know, it's not like they locked me in my room for 20 years for trying to steal their money. They didn't want to punish me. I was their cute little 8-year-old failed ninja. You know, they loved me, so they punished me and forgave me. I need to learn what I did was wrong. And I never did that again, that's for sure. See, God doesn't end with eternal punishment for Israel here. Even though they still won't trust him, like me betraying my parents and stealing from them, his people turned away from him. They looked to other gods and they keep betraying God. But God punishes them justly. And if they repent, he promises a vast reward. You know, Joel isn't saying this is what's going to happen for the rest of the days. Punishment, betrayal, forgiveness. Punishment, betrayal, forgiveness. Sorry, I did that wrong. You should have picked up on that. Betrayal, punishment, forgiveness. Betrayal, punishment, forgiveness. And on. No, he's warning something greater is coming. You know, Joel's talking about free pony rides and majestic cheeseburgers.
Again.
Nice. Good work. You can have this chocolate right here. So Joel's talking about a greater restoration where never again will my people be shamed. Where a new day will come. And this bright new day is found in Jesus. See, Jesus' innocent sacrifice gives those with repentant hearts a restored relationship with God. See, John 8:12, Jesus is speaking to a crowd saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. With the punishment upon Jesus, God's people have a hope of life. Jesus restores the paradise that we read of in 2:18-27. For those who repent, there's no longer a crime on us. We've been released from prison. Jesus has pleaded guilty for our sins. You know, he was just like, skip the trial, skip the hearing, just release them all and put all their crimes upon me. And you know, let's just get on with the death penalty. See, we've heard the tragedy of the cross. That one so innocent died for such a death-deserving people. And the story ends in darkness. Nice. See, the story doesn't end in darkness. Yeah, there's a saying, the night is darkest just before the dawn. Not sure if you've heard it before. I heard it in the last Batman movie. A few heads, yeah. See, it fits so well. The final battle had to take place. Just as Batman faced against the Joker, Jesus faced sin and won. He rose from the dead. He beat sin and death. And now we're free to be in relationship with God. The dawn is here. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In primary school, I was really into rollerblading. For a couple of hours each day, I'd actually go outside after school and just rollerblade on our driveway. Just go around and around and again. I got a bit bored of it, so I started to do jumps. And I'd just stack things up and try and jump them. Anyway, one day, three skateboarders came along and stacked their skateboards on top of each other and dared me to jump it. They thought they were real tough blokes with their stacked up skateboards and me on my rollerblades. But what they didn't know is that I'm usually probably clearing about four skateboards of height. But mind you, I usually use cardboard boxes. And so if I stacked, I'd just hit the cardboard box and still land on my feet. But these were skateboards. These were solid skateboards. If I was going to stack, it would have been a big stack. Dun, dun, dun. But I absolutely cleared it and felt so good about it. See, our sin isn't something we can just jump over and beat. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we think we are, we can't beat this wall of sin. But Jesus clears that wall. In fact, he smashes that wall wide open for us. We no longer have to fight against sin. Jesus has cleared that way, cleared the way for paradise to come. And it doesn't end here. Joel's pointing the people of Israel to a day where God will come down to earth with his great army to judge all creation. This day will be where repentant people find refuge and blessing in God. So Joel 3:16, the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for his people of Israel. Now you may be thinking, what now? Are we getting punished again? Or maybe, I thought Jesus already made us free from sin and judgment. See, if you trust Jesus in the sacrifice he made for you, then I have some incredible news for you. In this great and terrible judgment, you will be eaten by gigantic squids and cockroaches.
Hey, what?
In this great and terrible judgment, you will have refuge in God. Joel 3:17. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. See, paradise will be restored, as God has promised throughout Joel. In verse 18, in that day, the mountains will drip new wine and the hills will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of acacias. Blessings will be poured out. There'll be no more darkness. And flipping all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 5, says there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever. The last few chapters of Revelation are really quite incredible. They're explaining in such detail what this new day will bring. But the main thing that's emphasized in both Joel and Revelation is the last line of this book. The very last line of the book. And what does it say? The Lord dwells in Zion. God is there. And he's inviting us to be there with him. Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" God himself will be with them. Tell me, what are you looking forward to about heaven? Is it the water of life? Maybe chatting up some angels? The city of pure gold? Being free from, you know, bad people? Stuffing your face with everlasting fruit? Or God? See, God has brought down heaven so we can dwell with him. Not for us to enjoy infinite pleasures, but so we can be with our Maker. So, are you about God? Now, is that your dream? Do you long to be in his presence? But what about for those who don't repent? Now, Israel suffered an army of locusts for their disobedience and rejection of God. But Joel's been warning of something bigger to come for those who don't repent. And that would have been completely terrifying for Israel at the time. You know, their entire lives just been destroyed from this army of locusts. And Joel comes saying, things are just going to get worse if you don't repent. Joel 3:19, "But Egypt will be desolate, Edom a desert waste." Joel's saying, those who reject Jesus will be left to nothing. Desolate, desert, waste. So if you don't believe this, what's holding you back? You know, this description of paradise is mentioned all throughout the Bible. And so is this description of eternal fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. God's made known to John, the writer of the book, that the final day would bring. And John states, "Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into a lake of fire." Now, I don't know about you, but a lake of fire doesn't really sound fun. And if you ask a person who's been severely burned, "Oh, did you enjoy burning?" they'd probably punch you in the face. See, God doesn't want you to have this lake of fire. That's why there's a book of life. So why not have your name written in this book of life? So we've seen God loves us. He doesn't want to send destruction upon us. He wants people to see his greatness alone and no other. He wants his people to be restored, then put their hope and their refuge in him. Now, the Christian life can be difficult. Like Israel, we can put our faith and love in other things, like sport, wanting the best new things, how we look, being the best at something, and the list goes on. Now, when I was in primary school, all my stories seem to be related about me being in primary school. Not sure why. Anyway, I was in love with sport. Now, the things that went through my mind were sport, girls, and Crash Team Racing on the PlayStation 1. Not sure if anyone remembers yes. it. Yeah. See, one day we were running really late for soccer training. And it got to the point where Mum just wouldn't let me go. I cried. I really cried. And I chucked a gigantic tantrum. You know, I think the whole suburb of South Tamworth probably heard me. All I wanted to do was play soccer. See, Joel's saying, stop looking at other gods and look to the one true God. Yes, we are sinful people, but having faith in Jesus clears our debt. Jesus, the light of the world, who's poured blessing upon us. So Aragorn and the army of Rohan, they were going to lose the Battle of Helm's Deep. They really were. They were on the final stretch. They had one last burst of energy. With all their might, they fought. But they couldn't defeat the power of the enemy on their own. A new dawn came. The sun rose and with an army of light. That army that tore through the enemy swiftly, so much that they fled in terror. This bright new day has come. Jesus has torn through the restraints of sin, taking it all upon himself and defeating the enemy, giving us the paradise God has promised. So are you part of this new day? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to our knees before you, just seeing the lengths you went to save us, such love and grace. Father, we pray that we can be looking forward to this new paradise living with you, that we won't have our minds on other things, but we can seek to dwell in your presence alone. We pray all this in your great Son's name.